Hello, everybody, and welcome to the When Hard Work Beats Talent podcast. We are so excited today to have the one and only Coach Music. She just became the head coach for the University of Arkansas's women's basketball team from a little town called Canton, Oklahoma. There's food for thought, and what's really cool is the fact that Arkansas has two head coaches from Canton, Oklahoma. So that's pretty cool. But Coach Music, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate you very much. We know your schedule is quite busy now, being an SEC coach versus not an SEC coach in your prior coaching. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Awesome. So with every podcast, we start with some rapid fire questions. So the first question, what is one hidden talent that you have?
I don't get a brain freeze.
Really?
I can eat ice cream really fast and I don't get a brain freeze.
That's impressive.
That's very impressive.
If I can look at ice cream, I get a brain freeze.
Yep. I will give you a balance. Contest.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what happened there. We've asked this question and we've had the same answer from two ladies, and I don't know why, but I'm going to ask you one place you've been that you don't ever want to go back to.
I can't even name a spot.
Really?
There's nothing that I would never go back to. Nothing's been that bad. I like to find the silver lining.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Definitely. I love candy, but I'm still going with the ice cream. That's definitely a guilty pleasure.
What kind?
Oh, I would prefer, I'm kind of plain Jane. I will like from Andy's, I like just vanilla concrete with pecans. I love just a chocolate chip from Brahms or cookies and cream. I love me some Dairy Queen Blizzard, though. Holy. I'll take an Oreo Blizzard all day.
That is pretty good.
Yeah. I was wondering if you're going to bring up Brahms, being an Oklahoma person. Like, you can't not mention the state ice cream. Like,
yes.
It's almost sacrilegious. You could lose your
I could lose my Oklahoma card.
Yeah, you could probably. They I think Brahms might hunt you down. The Brahms Mafia might hunt you down. And I'm assuming there's Brahms
right down the street here in Arkansas. So don't worry. I still frequent the place.
We need to have Brahms do a NIL deal with you guys.
Hey, I mean, with a no brain freeze, I could be a top salesman.
There you go.
Hey, and not just their ice cream. Let's just be honest. Their milk is phenomenal. And the rest is the produce. Everything's great there. So I can't.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it's just great company.
Come on, Brahms.
Brahms has it going on.
We'll send this to their marketing team, see what we can do for you.
Hey, hook me up.
Yeah, then all we ask in return is a couple seats on the sidelines a couple times a year. We're good to go.
It's fine.
Yeah, as long as we don't get paid, so we have to pay taxes on it. Yeah. So who is one person in your life that had an impact that just you didn't see it coming, like kind of a shocking person that had an impact?
Well, I would definitely say Mrs. Gore, my high school coach, because at the time, you know, when my mom, she coached me in fifth and sixth grade. But when Mrs. Gore came and she, you know, played for John Lofton at SWASU, she played for Karen Edgar Knight at La Mega. You know, nobody knew what we were getting into when I was a little seventh grader over there in Canton, America. So definitely Mrs. Gore definitely influenced my basketball career, my basketball path, and just all the knowledge that I learned from her running the running, you know, the true motion offense of Bobby Knight and just really learning the game at a deeper level. She coached me from seventh grade through 12th grade. And some of the things we did were pretty intense. So, I've got some great stories.
That is pretty sweet. Okay,
she definitely made me tougher, I'll tell you that.
That's having a coach that can do that is pretty special. Especially not at the time, but looking back on it several years later, then you know it's pretty special.
Oh, definitely. I would do it all again. I don't think she ever told me good job, but that's fine. I didn't need that. I mean, she really did teach us the game of basketball. And, you know, it was also a different time back then when you could coach a little bit in a different way as well. And she did that. And we were really good. So I would do it all over again.
Nice. Dixie's gymnastics coach is kind of like that. And when he gives her hey, that was pretty good. That's like, she did amazing. Because he doesn't just say that's pretty good all the time.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she told me good job till I was a coach at SWASU. So it took her a long time to tell me good job.
There you go.
A lot of success at Southwestern. I mean, you took the team and it had been kind of just floating along for a long time, and you came in there and really kind of revamped it and had tons of success on the women's side. And you've had some great players come.
Oh yeah, some really good players came through SWASU for us. So it was a great time in my life. It was definitely a building block and a huge opportunity. You know, being the age I was when I got that first head coaching job, it was amazing.
Not to kind of get off track here, because I got the next question, but did you start in Rankin or were you in the new gym?
Oh no, I started in Rankin.
Oh, the smells of that place are something else.
Oh, Rankin. We loved it. I would take my teams back in there. Even after we got the new event center built, we'd still go back to Rankin some. They needed to know where it all started. They needed to put foot on Kelly Litch court.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, she's a legend.
She is a legend.
I mean,
she lived in our neighborhood and when we lived out there, and she would run every day, walk every day. And my kids, Titus and Maddox, were little then, and we'd see her and I was like, that's the legend. You make sure you know that that's the legend. And so Titus was only like little three and he'd be like, there's the legend. That's right. She's the legend. Make sure you respect Kelly Litch.
One of the best basketball players to ever come through the state of Oklahoma was from Thomas America, who played at Southwestern, won three national championships or four. Mm-hmm.
Three national titles, went undefeated. She was the player of the year. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
What is the hardest thing you've had to overcome?
The hardest thing is we lost my stepson in 2021. So that, when you lose a child, that is by far the hardest thing on this side of heaven. Definitely that.
Yeah, that would definitely be tough.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Now you met your husband while you were at Southwestern, correct? Because he was on the work of the football team, from what I remember.
Mm-hmm. So he played football there, and then he was the strength coach. He helped start the strength and conditioning program, and he was the strength coach when I first got there. And then he kind of left and went into the private sector and started Swole. But yeah, that's where I met him. Was at SWASU.
See, just Southwestern, just connecting people and changing lives. I mean, that's just what it's.
Yeah. Hey, SWASU special. Everybody, once you're there, you're a dog for life.
And people don't understand, like, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's hard to get in trouble because there's no trouble to be found in a town of 9,000 people, which seems like, from a town I grew up in, seems like just the biggest city on the planet when you first get there. And then of course, you move away and you're like, that's a really small town.
It is. It's special though. Like, I've had players come from California. When I first got there, we had a little connection with Fresno City College, and they love it. They would all do it all over again. And they love Weatherford. A lot of them have come back there for different periods in their life, and they'll still come visit, but SWASU is special.
Yeah. It's a great little place. Made some lifelong friends from all over Western Oklahoma, from that little spot in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I never heard of Weatherford, Oklahoma before I went to school at Southwestern. So I didn't even know where it was. Somebody said Weatherford and I'm like, Texas? They're like, no, Oklahoma. I'm like, where is that? They're like, basically due north. Just go like 4 hours straight north. Oh, sounds good. Yeah. So my last one, it says, who is one person you'd love to have a meal with current time or go back to the start of time? Who is the one person you'd love to sit down and just talk to?
And I'm gonna take a basketball route with this answer, and I would choose Pat Summitt.
That's a great one. What would be the first question you'd ask Pat Summitt?
Oh man, I would ask her about, like, obviously she's still coached in a different era, but just probably the different ways that she was able to motivate such high level talented kids.
Yeah, that's
so much talent run through there.
She was a legend.
She was.
She absolutely was. Even especially for a guy like me who I'm not a basketball. Played basketball, let's see, up until maybe the middle school, then everybody else continued to grow and I did not. So
a little bit of a challenge.
At all. So it happens. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so we all know, and Wes loves this because you're SWASU, and first time we've had one of his people on here. So he's, you know, stoked. But take us through your career, where it started. We know it started in Canton. But take us through your career and where you are now and kind of that thought process of getting that Arkansas job of, you know, you get the call, you're going through maybe the discussions with your family and saying, oh crap, this is happening now. We're going literally to Fayetteville.
So obviously I am from Canton, Oklahoma. I was born and raised. My family still lives there. I graduated. I went to play college basketball at Cameron University in Lawton, Oklahoma. After we revamped that program, crazy story, when I first started at Cameron, we won 5 games my first year. And my senior year, we went to the national tournament for the first time in school history. So I feel like I've always been a part of rebuilding programs. And so after that, I actually moved to Fresno, California when I was 22 years old. And I was the director of operations for Fresno State for 2 seasons. I moved back to Canton, Oklahoma, and I coached 5th through 12th grade basketball back in my hometown.
Wow.
So yeah, went all the way back to elementary, all the way to high school basketball. I was there for 2 years. I went back to Fresno State and was the Dobo again. And then I was an assistant coach. And that's kind of when I went back and I'd been able to coach at like 5th grade through 12th grade. I'd been at the college level and I just knew that I wanted to be a head coach. I just knew it wasn't in my path. I knew it was in what, you know, God had laid out for me in my opinion. And it was something I was really passionate about. And I knew that I had just an ability to see basketball in a different way, almost like I have a photographic memory with basketball. I might not remember some other things in my life, but I can remember like literally a full game, or I can see things and fix it. I can see things and make ideas and make plays on the fly. It's, you know, just one of the blessings I feel like God blessed me with. And so I knew I wanted to be a head coach. And I remember the SWASU job came open and I was like, man, I could be a head coach and I could go and be 45 minutes from my hometown. This would be perfect. And honestly, I had people like, hey, you're too young. You're probably not going to get it. You know, I don't know that they might not give you a chance. And I was like, I'm going for it. I got stuck in the airport. I was up working on like my presentation of what I was going to present during my interview. I remember, obviously, I've had to fly in. My dad like picks me up at the airport. He like literally, I think he sat in that parking lot while I was doing my interview. He just probably sat there. Maybe he went to Brahms. I don't know. But he just waited on me because I was like, I'm not going to rent a car when my family's right there. And I interviewed and I remember I had to fly back, obviously, because I had a job in Fresno. So I flew back to Fresno and I got a call from Todd Thurman at the time. He was the athletic director and he offered me the job. And I was like, absolutely. I will gladly come home. And I got there and, you know, of course I didn't have an assistant at the time. I was by myself, meeting with a new team, trying to recruit. And that's when I knew that being the director of operations at a Division I school helped prepare me for being a head coach, because I was literally having to do it all until I got my assistant hired. And I hired Sophie Anderson to be with me. She'd never coached a day in her life. And so, but I knew I wanted someone who I could trust and that was loyal. And she was definitely all that. And we learned and we grew together. And I was there until from 2009 until 2022. And then, you know, I just felt like maybe I need to try something different. Kind of a crazy story, actually. In 2019, we were obviously really good. We made it to the national championship game, to all Americans. We went 35-2. We lost our first game of the season, won 35 in a row, lost in the championship game by double overtime. And, man, what a year. And after that season, I had a guy call me. He was from Tulsa and he's now my agent, but he called me and I wasn't even really looking for an agent. I was like, I loved being at SWASU. I mean, I was great. I mean, I had my kids. I was, you know, right by my family. So I thought about it. Me and my husband talked, we prayed about it. And I decided to sign with my agent. And yeah, I didn't really think anything of it. And then in 2022, ORU job came open and he was like, hey, I think this would be a good opportunity. You know, you could get back into Division One. I thought, okay. So I ended up interviewing for that job and I was able to get offered the Oral Roberts women's basketball job and I took it in 2022. So my family and I, you know, it was after we had lost Keenan. So it was kind of a fresh start for us to kind of get out of Weatherford. So we went to Tulsa and my first year, you know, some growing pains, we started to implement the system. And by our second year and our third year, we had 220 back-to-back win seasons. We were able to really revamp the program at ORU, make a change. And last year, when I was at ORU, we actually beat two SEC teams, hence probably why I have an opportunity to be at Arkansas. We beat them on their home floor last year. So maybe that's where Hunter, my AD, saw me. I don't know. Everyone jokes about it. So it
hurt.
You want to know at the arena there.
I know. So, and then obviously there was a lot of movement in the Division I world last year in women's basketball. And, you know, there were some different talks with my agent. And then, you know, the opportunity to be at Arkansas came about. And, you know, it's kind of a crazy story. It happened really fast. My first conversation with Hunter, my AD, was pretty much 1 week prior to being announced. So it moved extremely fast. My prayer that week, I didn't know if I was really going to be offered the job, but I was about to coach in the WBIT. My team had made it to postseason play. And it was a great opportunity for us at ORU to be able to be in the BIT. And I just remember, like, Lord, please, if this is supposed to happen, let the door open. But if there's any way it could be after we play, I really don't want to have to try to tell my team or something to get out before. And so, you know, it worked out. We played on a Thursday and everything kind of went into motion on Friday morning. And by Friday afternoon, I was announced as the head coach. It was extremely fast. You don't get a lot of time. So when you're like, hey, did you have all these discussions? There wasn't really a lot of time for discussion. It was like, if we're doing this, we're doing this. And, you know, my family 100% supported me. It was kind of crazy. The day it all happened, my parents and my sister were actually with me in Bixby at our house. And they were like, oh my gosh, this is your life. This is your. I was like, yeah, it just got real crazy. So what a blessing to be able to be in the SEC and to be able to be named the head women's basketball coach here at Arkansas. So my kids and my husband finished school. My kids finished school at Bixby last year. My daughter graduated from Bixby High School. And then we finally got to get into our house and move over here as a whole family in July. So we've been back and forth and in the middle of recruiting and training a team, doing camps, living in temporary housing, back and forth. But we're settled. We have a house. My kids are in school here. And we have started a new season and a new era of Arkansas women's basketball.
That's pretty cool.
You mentioned earlier kind of some influences for basketball for you. What is your philosophy when it comes to setting up your offense? I've talked about motion, talked about Bobby Knight, your coach using the Bobby Knight philosophy. So do you just kind of assess your team, or do you have like a, this is how we're going to play basketball and this is how we're going to do it. And we're going to execute this plan. Or do you kind of just assess your team and go, hey, well, I guess at the college level, you get to kind of recruit who you want. But what is your mantra or your philosophy on your offensive sets and how you work your offense?
Well, when I was at Fresno State, Vance Wahlberg actually created the dribble drive offense. And Brian Tesler was one of his really good friends, and he ran it at Fresno City College. So when I was at Fresno State from 06 to 09, Coach Tesler came in and we learned the dribble drive. So we implemented it in that 2008 season and the 2009 season at Fresno State, back then it was the WAC, won a couple of championships. And so when I got the head job at SWASU, I went all in. So since I started in 09, I have sold out, all in 100%. I run the dribble drive and I live and die by it. I live and die by the system. I have tweaked it over time and made it my own. So, you know, if when people go back and they look at how, you know, Wahlberg created it and a lot of you know, a lot of coaches on the men's side run the dribble drive. They do run it different than I. So I have tweaked it, kind of made it my own. But I live and die by the dribble drive. I ran it at SWASU. It won me 7 championships. I ran it at ORU and we are running it at Arkansas. I might mix up a lot of things defensively and, you know, maybe some of my drills and whatnot, but I live and die by the dribble drive. It's a 4-out, 1-in, high octane, fast paced offense. Last year at ORU, my team was 8th in the nation in scoring out of all of Division I. When I was at SWASU for probably the last handful of years, top 10 in the nation in scoring. So it's definitely something I believe in. It's something I think my teams, I mean, if you went and asked any of my players that have played for me, they'd probably tell you that they love the dribble drive. They love the offense. And, but like I said, it's something I live and die by. So we run the dribble drive. We're all in.
Nice. Do the players, when you came in and you said, hey, we're doing the dribble drive, I have no idea what you're talking about. Mainly because not a basketball guy like we discussed. Were they excited and saying, yeah, we're going to score, whatever? What was their attitude like when you, that first meeting when you came in and you started talking about your offense and what you guys are going to do?
You know, I think just not just the offense, but I think overall, like our culture is something that's extremely important. I think that's something I've done a good job of is building a culture in which the girls want to be a part of. My pillars are faith, family, and fearless. And so not only is our style of basketball important, but I think our culture, what we stand for, what we represent, the passion and the energy that we want to play with is extremely important with the foundation we're laying. But being able to run the dribble drive, I always tell my players, it is a system. And initially it is hard. You've got to get in really good shape. There are a lot of hard things about it, but once they figure it out and they embrace it, they're able to use the God-given abilities that they've worked on their whole lives. And I don't put my players in a box. They're able to use those freedoms, use those skills that they've worked on and put them on display within a system. So initially it's kind of hard, but I know that I know what the outcome will be. I know what, once we get to that point, what it will look like. But I always tell them to trust the process and have a little faith and give us a little time, but I promise I'll get them there. And that's extremely important. I think it's all encompassing, the culture, the foundation, and the offensive system. And making sure my players know that I believe in them. That's extremely important. I always say confidence will take you a long ways in life. You know, I always joke that my 12-year-old might not be the best dancer, but you know, he thinks he is. I'll take it. Confidence will take you a long ways. You know, so, you know, if you have that confidence, it overcomes a lot. And a lot of times in life, people lose their confidence. And especially in young women, I want to restore their confidence. I want them to be fearless on my basketball court. I want them to think they're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And so many things in this world will steal their joy, will steal their happiness, will steal their confidence. And I want to put that back in them and feed that into them and help them grow in all aspects of their life. So to me, it's not just about basketball. It's also about helping grow young women into better young women in all aspects of their life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and helping them grow into the young women that is going to have to tackle life after they finish college.
I think those three pillars are awesome in the fact that when we were getting our tour, thanks to Trevor Meyer, your brother-in-law who works with me.
What?
Yeah.
Small world.
I know. Yeah, I was very excited because Dixie went to Arkansas's camp, gymnastics camp for the first time, and you're the head coach, new head coach. So it worked out. However, your three pillars are actually all over that basketball offices, which I think is pretty amazing because it's that constant reminder of the three pillars for Arkansas women's basketball. So I think it's spot on. I think it's awesome what you're doing, and I'm excited to watch it.
You kind of led into this. My question is, where did those come from? How did you develop those three pillars of faith, family, and fearless? Where did that come from?
You know, I think it's just part of it is who I am and what I stand for in my life. And I think I've always wanted to run my teams like a family. I want my staff to be a family. I want my players to know that they are genuinely, when you join my team, you're a part of my family. my kids are going to be around a lot. My husband, like, you know, it is genuinely a family type atmosphere. And I want parents to know that you're also entrusting me with your child. And I don't take that lightly. I know what it feels like to be a mom. I've also experienced great loss in my life. And so, you know, we view life a little bit different and take things a little bit deeper and a little bit more personal. And, you know, time is fleeting. And so when parents entrust their daughters with me and my staff, we don't take it lightly. And I want them to know, like, you will genuinely have a family if you come and you play for us. So that's the family aspect. I think faith, you know, it's who I am, and it's what I believe has helped get me to where I'm at. But, you know, we have to have that faith, not just in, you know, like, obviously I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus, but faith in a program, faith in, you know, my coaches, faith in themselves, faith in all aspects of life, is extremely important. And then fearless, like I said, you know, so many people let fear stifle them, let fear hold them back. But what's on the other side? I always tell my players, like, things in life aren't easy, but usually what's on the other side of hard is something really, really good. But some people let hard stop them or fear stop them. But what's on the other side of that is usually something so rewarding and so glorious and so amazing that we got to push through the hard and push through the fear. And I want to instill that in them. So that's kind of where my pillars come from. And I stand by it. And I want to try to instill that in my team. And I want them to be better young women when they leave here and look back and, you know, tell funny stories about me, even if they're, you know, they're talking about a hard practice or something crazy I might have said, and we can laugh about it 5, 10 years later. So, you know, it's about those relationships, and I love that.
I mean, because do you go, and I have two boys, and they're right there in that teenage age, and we play sport, they play sports, and I always tell them, you can control two things in life. You can control your effort and your attitude. Mm-hmm. And if you can control those and give max effort and max attitude, you'll win. You might not, the score might not always say that you won, but you will have won, because you know when you're done and you walked off the soccer pitch or you walked off the basketball court, that you've given all that you've had, and you can be satisfied in the result because you did not leave anything out there. I said, the biggest stealer of happiness is regret.
Absolutely. Like,
don't regret, just give it all. And then I'm never going to get onto you if I see max effort and max attitude. I will, if I see you goofing off and you're being, well, that ref didn't call this right. Who cares? Like, who cares? You can't control that. Yep. Just give it all.
Control what you can control. And I tell my players all the time, there's nothing more painful than regret.
Yep. That's it.
There's nothing. And like you said, I always can say the same thing. You control your energy and you control your effort. And like you said, your attitude. And so control what you can control. It's funny because that's how we started basketball practice yesterday. I said, control what you can control. And those are the two things that you can. I said, we have a lot to learn right now. I'm teaching so much to everybody, not just my players, my staff, everybody's new. We're all in a learning curve, but everybody can come in with a good attitude and everyone can give, like you said, max effort and control what you can control. And that's something that my players are learning right now. And I really believe that they're really embracing it. The one thing that I love is they're so coachable and they are working so hard. You know, I had someone, the equipment manager here, I met with him, and I didn't get to meet with him for almost 2 weeks. It was so busy and so crazy when I first got hired. And one thing that he said that I really, you know, it really resonated, and it was kind of a pat on the back. He said, we haven't seen the lights in your gym on as much. So in the last 2 weeks, they've been on more than they have in the last couple of years. And I was like, you know what? These girls are hungry, and I like that.
That's awesome.
I'm going to read you a quote. If you want something you've never had, you have to be willing to do something you've never done. Do you know who said that?
Well, I've said it quite a bit.
That's where I got it from.
Okay, good.
Yes. I was watching, I think I was watching one of the reels that Arkansas women's basketball put up, and you said it during your team meeting, and I think it really resonated. Is that a mantra or something you said your whole career to your teams?
Mm-hmm. I have. I said it at SWASU. You know, I have a preseason. I make them run, and I don't let, you know, usually strength coaches handle that, or someone else comes in and handles the running. But I've always done it since the day I stepped foot at SWASU. I've ran my teams and, you know, it's at 6 a.m. and I always tell them it's dark and early and I don't want to get up that early either. I get it. There's only one way to get in shape and that's to run. If there was an easy way or a magic way to do it, but if we want to play at the speed in which we want to play, if we want to have the success that we want to have, then we have to pay a price and you have to be in really good shape. And so that's one of the things that I always say, especially at those 6 a.m. runnings, is reminding them, like, there's a method to the madness, but if you want something you've never had, so if you want to win, when I first got to SWASU and we tried to rebuild that program, if we want to be known in Division II, we want to take that next step, we want to be known on a national stage, we have to do something different. Same thing at ORU. And now here, I'm like, if you don't want to be at the bottom of the SEC, then we have to find a way, we have to do something different. We have to climb this ladder. And so if you want something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. And maybe that's training differently. Maybe that's being in better shape. Maybe that's being more mentally tough, whatever that is. But you got to find a way to do something different to get a different result.
So I had a basketball coach growing up that he said he wanted us to be in the best shape of our lives. So when the fourth quarter hit, we were just hitting our stride where everybody else was on the decline, so that if we had to go to overtime, we weren't going to lose because we were physically ready. And he, you know, again, I grew up in a different time. We had a heater in our gym, didn't have air conditioner. The heater was on, whether it was June or December, like it was running because you wanted to sweat. And it was always so flipping hot in that daggum gym. But it was one of those where we were the same thing. Like he pushed us. He never said those words, but it was to that extent. If you want to be better, you've got to outwork everybody because it wasn't working before.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, I mean, look at your podcast, When Hard Work Beats Talent. I mean, that's it. You know, like there are a lot of talented people out there, but at the end of the day, like, what are you willing to do to get to that next level, to embrace the grind, to work your way up the ladder of whatever that is, whether it's the basketball rankings, whether it's your conference rankings, whether that's in your job, in your personal life, whatever that is. I mean, I just think that basketball teaches you so much about life as well. And that's one thing I try to allow my players to understand. Going back to that pillar of family, I want them to know that it's okay. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, my kids will be around, but I can also be a really good basketball coach. So that, you know, they understand that you can do a lot in life. It doesn't have to be limited. You don't have to put limits on. I want to show them that you can do it all and you can be successful, and to be fearless in those things. So just, you know, like you said, it is a mantra that I've always stood by and I've always said. I mean, you could go back to some of my SWASU teams and they could rehearse my one liners. I said something this morning at 6 a.m. and one of my coaches was like, "That was good. Have you said that before?" I was like, "Yep, I've been using that one for a while, but we could phone a few SWASU girls and they would be like, oh, Coach Music's one-liners." Got a long list of them. So
well, enough, you have your things at work, right? And you repeat them because you always have a new team. When the minute the season ends, that team will no longer play together. They will never get a chance to put on that jersey as that group of people. And so when that changes, you can use them because you're going to have a whole new group coming in that never heard you say what you said.
Yeah. That's funny that you said that, because I'll tell my teams when we about to start a season, especially right before game time, I'm like, look around, see this group. It will never be again. Just like you said, something will change. Someone will leave, someone will come, but it will never be again. So you have to embrace those moments, because no matter what, time marches on. We can't stop it for anything. Not for death, not for life, not for anything. Time goes on no matter what. And so just embracing those moments and being in the journey is so important, and trying to allow these young ladies to understand that. And sometimes, you know, it might not resonate or until a few years later, but at the end of the day, they are learning so many life lessons and it is bigger than basketball. But I'm blessed to be able to do this life and coach basketball. So it's a blessing.
Awesome. As we wrap up, what is your one story that, and you hit on it a little bit with the name of our podcast, When Hard Work Beats Talent, what is your one story or one athlete you coached that maybe wasn't the most talented, but they worked super hard and then it brought their talent out?
Man, I don't know that I could name just one player. I feel like I've coached a lot of talented players. So high level, you know, like a Haley Tucker from SWASU. She could have went to a handful of Division I colleges, and she chose SWASU, a Division II school, and she left a legacy. But then there's teams that there was players on her teams that complimented her, and maybe they weren't as talented, but they did the little things. So, you know, I think that's one thing that I could say that I've always instilled in my teams is to work to be the hardest worker in the room as a whole. I don't think I could name just one player, because I think my list of players who have really just worked really hard and outworked people is kind of long, in my opinion. But I think it's also what my programs have stood for, that we weren't scared to be the hardest workers in the room. We weren't scared to play the number one teams in the nation. We weren't scared to go up against the best. I used to tell them when I started at SWASU, we'll play anybody, anytime, anywhere, any place against anybody, because that's the mentality I wanted them to have. You know, I remember before we had that run in 2019, I would try to schedule whoever won the national title, I would want to play them. My girls are like, what? And I'm like, hey, if you want to be the best, you got to play the best. We got to see where we match up. We got to see what we need to work on. And they took on that mentality because they got to where they weren't scared. They wanted to play the best. They wanted to go prove that SWASU could compete with anybody on any level at any time. And, you know, and that's the type of mentality I think that my players took on, because that's the mentality that we had. Me as a coach and my staffs took on that mentality, and to where we wanted to be the hardest workers in the room, and we weren't going to be scared to go up against maybe a little bit better talent here and there, because it worked. And then, you know, I look at where I came from. You know, I still go back. You were talking about a hot gym. I go back and I run a camp in Canton, Oklahoma, and man, I get spoiled over here. All those gyms are air conditioned, and I go back to Canton and I'm sweating it out with those little kids, and I love it. I get to watch, like, I had players that played for me at Canton will bring their kids from 30, 45 minutes to an hour away to bring their kids to my little camp in Western Oklahoma. And, you know, I'm from a tiny town. There's 500 people in my hometown. There's not a stoplight. There's not a fast food restaurant. And most people might be like, man, how'd you get out of there? How'd you make it? But hard work. I believed that this was destined for me. And I wasn't scared to take a chance to go get a head job at SWASU when I was in my 20s. That, you know, maybe they thought I was too old to get a D1 job after I left SWASU after all those years. I don't know, but just, you know, if you want something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done, and you can't be scared to take a chance or take a risk. And I know that I have definitely, I'm not scared of hard work. I got a blue collar mentality. You know, I went from driving the people mover at SWASU to flying on a private plane at Arkansas. So, you know, it's a different world, but I'm not scared to roll up my sleeves and work hard. But, you know, like
a little different. People are pretty special. Don't kid yourself. They are pretty luxury for
people movers are something else. My kids grew up on those things. So, but just that it's, dream big, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from. You can come from a big city or a small town, but dream big. Don't be scared to go for your goals, because like we said, fear will make cowards of us all. And fear's one thing that'll stifle people, but you know, believe in yourself and go for it. So I encourage everyone from small towns with big dreams, go for it.
Awesome. Do you, and last thing,
this is making my Southwestern heart happy. Don't kid yourself. Yeah, like I am.
He's on cloud nine right now.
Yeah, hey, talking about my favorite place on earth and the formative years of my life, probably, you know, I probably had way too much fun in college, and they were probably really happy when I left.
I doubt that. Look back, and I mean, like you said, that's what I tell my players. That's one thing that you just said I love. I said, I hope when you leave here, you can say these are four of the best years of my life. And, you know, and that's what SWASU gave you. SWASU gave you some of your best years and your best times of your life. And you look back and we cherish those memories. And, it's about the journey. It's friendships, relationships. And, you know, I look back and, man, SWASU was amazing. You know, I honestly didn't know that I'd ever leave there.
Little slice of heaven out there in Western Oklahoma that you didn't know was there until you got there. Yeah, it's just It's funny. I got my bachelor's in finance, and the day I walked across the stage, my finance professor gave me my alumni pin, which is hanging up on my wall here. And she put it on me and gave me a hug and goes, "Don't come back." Just as a joke, because that's how we were with each other.
Yeah,
And
I love that.
she was one of the greatest people ever. She's since retired from the university there, but she was a great experience. Well,
Man.
Coach, we appreciate your time. We wish you all the success that you ever could dream and hope for. Super proud as an alumni from Southwestern that you are doing great things at bigger place. I won't say better, but I'll say bigger places than Southwestern. It's still really good. Being an SEC coach is a from Canton, America, is an
Two of them
amazing.
at Arkansas.
Yeah. So we're happy for you. We thank you for your time, and we wish you all the success as you enter your first year as the head coach there. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time. Thank you for all that you do with this podcast. This podcast will be on everywhere you can find your podcast, whether it be Apple or Spotify or any of the numerous places. We thank you for listening, and until next time, have a great
Go Hogs!
day.